Greetings, my friend. Welcome again to the podcast, Teaching the Transforms with Pastor Jimmy Knott. Thanks so much for joining me today. Today, we're going to continue our study in prayer, specifically from my latest book, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. Been out a couple of months and available on Amazon, Lord, Teach Us to Pray, Jimmy Knott. And I hope you'll go there and get it. It's also available in a digital form if you prefer that as well. But we're studying through the book, which is obviously a book on prayer. And right now we've been studying through a strategy, a plan on how to have a more meaningful and more consistent personal prayer time. And we're using a little acronym ACTS, ACTS. And we begin with adoration, A, adoration or praise. The psalmist said, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. We are enter into his courts with thanksgiving and into his gate, a place of opening with praise. The Lord inhabits, indwells in a unique way the adoration and the praises of his people. So we begin in adoration and praise. Once we enter into his holy presence through adoration and praise, we should become just sensitive to and really acutely aware of our need of our sins and our need for a confession of our sins to enjoy his full and his complete forgiveness. You remember last time we talked about confession and our sins unconfessed, damage our fellowship and hinder a prayerful relationship with God. And when we sin, even as believers, and we do, we really have two options. We look at those out of 1 John. First, which all too often is what we do, much like what Adam and Eve did when they sinned in the garden, they hid, they covered, and they lied about it. And the scripture is real clear that he who covers his sins will not prosper. It will not go well. It will not be good. But those who confess and forsake their sins will find and will obtain mercy. And all sin is important. When we confess our sins to God, we're essentially agreeing with God that we sinned and that we take ownership and that it's our sin. We did it. We made that choice of attitude or action or made the choice of inaction, whatever the case may be. And all sins, small sins, attitudinal sin, large sins, as it were, all sins should be confessed. And that should be done immediately when the Holy Spirit does that great work in our heart and lives by giving a check in our spirit and convicting us of a sinful attitude or action or inaction. And they should be confessed specifically because that's really how we did them, not generally, but specifically, taking very seriously what we have done to offend God and perhaps others. And I think confession is all about being thankful as well, thankful and confident that God loves us and loves to forgive us. And he certainly does. We have a very gracious and a wonderful forgiving and a kind and forgiving God. So, but after adoration, and then we move into confession, and now we move to today's element of prayer, and that is thanksgiving. Adoration, confession, and then thanksgiving. You might ask, why thanksgiving after confession? Well, here's my answer. Thanksgiving is the gratitude that we show for what is God, has to be God's greatest and most needed gift in our life, which is forgiveness. Our greatest problem is sin. That's just the bottom line. And therefore, our greatest need is the forgiveness of our sins. Now, let me clear up what might be a little bit of confusion. How are prayers of adoration and praise different from prayers of thanksgiving, which is today's topic? Well, here's a simple distinguishing element. In adoration, we praise God for who he is, his name and his attributes, who he is. Whereas in thanksgiving, we express gratitude and appreciation for what he does. Old Halsby writes, when we give thanks, we give God the glory for what he has done for us. And when we worship or give praise, we give glory for who he is in himself. And you know, when you study scripture, which I love to do, and I know many of you listening do as well, we see often that there's an inseparable link or relationship between thanksgiving and prayer. A couple bring to mind from the writings of Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, have no anxiety about anything. Don't be stressed out. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, prayer with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then over in Paul's letter to the church at Colossae in chapter 4, verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So the psalmist is right. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Let me begin before we get into the actual parts of this chapter 5 in my book on Try Thanksgiving. I want to read what I think is a very powerful quote from a great Bible teacher, John MacArthur. He writes, again, about this subject of rendering thanksgiving to God. He writes, I'm convinced that the greatest singular act of personal worship that you can render to God is to have a thankful heart. Thanks ultimately crucifies self. Thanks ultimately recognizes God as the source of everything. Thanks is always able to say, in the midst of difficult circumstances, God be praised, and see beyond the pain to the plan of God. And thanks is the ultimate act of praise because it says, God, I thank you even for the hard times, for those that die, for a difficult marriage, for an unfulfilling job, for everything, because I know that it can be used for my good in conforming me to Jesus Christ. What a powerful quote, powerful words about the importance of thanksgiving in our lives. So we're going to look at thanksgiving. And there are five parts in this chapter five. And I'm going to go through each one of those. And I hope they'll be a blessing and be instructional to you as well. First of all, thanksgiving to whom? To whom do we offer up our thanksgiving? Well, the obvious answer to that is God. God is the deserving object for our thanks. Why? Well, for all that He's done, the past blessings that He has wrought in our lives, for all that He is doing. Currently, right now, all of us can look at our lives and see things in our life experience that we can be grateful for. And then, in faith, thanking God for what He will do in the future. So God is to be thanked for all He's done, for what He is doing, and for what He will do. The giver, God, is always greater than the gift. Let me read a few of the Psalms, which is so very, very rich in thanksgiving. Let me read a few of the Psalms, and I think you'll find those to be helpful. Psalm 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Psalm 106, 1. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And then Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. And then one more, Psalm 111, 1. Praise the Lord. I'll give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company upright in the congregation. It's just a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. And here's a good reason. It reminds us of how awesome and wonderful our God is. So first, thanksgiving to whom? God. Second, thanksgiving by whom? Well, who should be grateful? Well, I think that's kind of obvious too. It's every believer's responsibility to give thanks to God. No one is exempt. Every believer should give wholehearted thanks to God. It's just part of what we should be doing in our experience. Let me read a couple of Psalms again. In Psalm 50, and in verse 14, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Especially when life is going difficult, sometimes being thankful can be difficult. And I think it's part of the reason he uses this word sacrifice, because when we think about sacrifice, we think about surrender, and we think about brokenness, and we think about giving up our way and our rights. And that's not easy. So the rest of the verse says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows, submit your life, as it were, to the Most High God. And then over in Psalm 95, verse 2, let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Come into His presence with thanksgiving. And then one of my favorite verses over in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 15. It's a really powerful verse about being thankful. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called into one body. And then he says, and be thankful. And be thankful. And be thankful. You know, ingratitude is really a litmus test of where we are in our journey, and it really is an offensive and a heinous sin. Well, one of the most powerful stories in the ministry of Jesus in the Gospels, only recorded in Luke, is the story of Jesus cleansing the 10 lepers. Let me read that and draw a few quick lessons from it. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. That's what lepers do. They stay at a distance because of their contagion. 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, not 10, one of them, when he saw he had been healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. He was not Jewish. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner, this Samaritan, not even a Jewish person?" And Jesus said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." You've not only made you well, made you whole. You've not only been made whole physically in that your leprosy has been cleansed, but I have made you whole spiritually because of your faith and your gratitude. Just a few quick lessons. This is a powerful story about the importance of Thanksgiving in our journey. Here's the first one. Remember, there were 10 lepers, all 10 healed, only one returned. Lesson number one, odds are you're not going to be grateful. Odds are. I mean, in this one, it was just 1 out of 10. So, you know, we got to be very careful that we're very deliberate and intentional about our gratitude to God. Number two, people who have the most to be thankful for are rarely the most thankful. Rarely the most thankful. And boy, that's certainly true in the lives of those other 9. They had a lot to be thankful for, and they just kind of went on. Number three, God doesn't bless us because we're thankful. We're thankful because He blesses us. Big, big difference in where the attention goes. And then a last lesson, being thankful keeps the holy from becoming just too common in our journey and in our experience, just becoming, expected in our lives. You know, we live in a world, sadly, that's become increasingly one of entitlement, that I have my rights and I deserve not only what I have, but more in my life. Thanksgiving, especially in prayer, is a way to remind ourselves that everything we have is not because we've earned it or deserve it, but based on the grace and the mercy and the goodness and the kindness of God. So, thanksgiving to whom? God. Thanksgiving by whom? Everyone, especially His children. Number three, thanksgiving what for? Why should we be giving thanks to the Lord? What are the reasons, what are the purposes that are to be found in Thanksgiving? Why is that so important? And I cover a lot of these on page 36 and following in the book. But let me highlight these. I think there are 5 of them. Let me highlight these in terms of some of the reasons of why we need to be thankful. First is our thanksgiving to God magnifies or glorifies Him. Psalm 69:30, "I will magnify Him, honor Him, glorify Him with my thanksgiving." You know, I really find it interesting when you look at prayer in general. When we pray, God is magnified, honored, and glorified. And then you look at each of these elements thus far in adoration. Whoever offers adoration and praise glorifies God. And then in confession, when we confess our sins, God is glorified. And then now as we come to this next element in a personal prayer plan, thanksgiving, that when we offer thanksgiving, God is magnified in our journey. And then next, prayer obeys the Father. He expects and really is obviously deserving of our prayers. And Psalm 50, verse 14, I read this earlier, "Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High." It is about surrendering our rights and submitting our life to Him. Over and over, He tells us to pray in Scripture. A third good reason to pray, powerful reason. Again, it reminds us that God is good and that He is the giver of everything that we have. It just works against this spirit of entitlement that so many people in our world have and can easily creep into our lives. Next, it follows the example of people in Scripture. If you go back Old Testament, New Testament, you look at some of the saints of Scripture, and just to mention a few, like David. You know, David was just a normal person like all of us that really struggled and had a lot of baggage in his own personal journey. But when you look at the life of David, especially when you read the Psalms, of which he was the author of most, it's just latent with thanksgiving after thanksgiving to God for all that he has done in David's life. Then you look at the great Apostle Paul. And just think for a minute with me. You look at the New Testament, you know, as a whole, and there are 27 books in the New Testament. Paul wrote 13 letters, so almost half of the New Testament. And when you look at Paul's 13 letters, in the opening few verses of 9 of those 13, he'd made mention of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to God and thanksgiving often for others. So what a powerful example. Paul was such a thankful person for all that God had done in his life. And then certainly the example of Jesus. Over and over again, for instance, in the feeding of the 5,000 out of the minimal food that was available, Jesus, before he fed the 5,000, offered thanksgiving up to God. I think in John chapter 11, when Lazarus, his friend, had died, and Mary and Martha, his sisters, were so brokenhearted, and Jesus came and and resurrected, raised Lazarus from the dead. Prior to doing that, he thanked God for what God was about to do. And then the Lord's Supper, something that we practice in remembrance of him. He told us to be thankful, thankful. He offered up thanks as he instituted the Lord's Supper that we recognize even today in our journeys. And then one other, and that is, I think as Christians, the Holy Spirit lives in us, and he wants to control and dominate and influence and permeate our lives. And one of the evidences that he is in control of our journey is our willingness to offer thanksgiving. Let me take you over to Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. And let me read a few verses here, beginning in chapter 5 and in verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, how you live. Not as unwise men, unwise being in the sense of not having a personal relationship with Christ, but as wise, making the most of the time, squeezing the opportunity, because the days are evil. We live in an evil world. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand. Understand what the Lord's will is. What is it? Don't get drunk with wine. That's a false filling, a false control. That's debauchery. But be filled continually, being filled with the power and the person of His Spirit. Evidences, listen to this. Addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart. That's just joy, regardless of circumstances. But here's what we're after in this lesson. And always, for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. One of the great evidences of the filling and control of the Spirit of God in your life and my life is that we're thankful no matter what's going on in our journey. Element number four in this chapter has to do, and it's an easy one because it's just so large when you think about it. Thanksgiving for what? We have so much to be thankful for. I began a list in the book. I think it's on pages 37 and 38. Just a list that's just so small compared to everything that we could be thankful for in our journey. For food and for God's goodness and mercy. What about thankful for the gift of Christ? What about the power and effect of God's word? What about the promised victory over death and the grave? The wisdom and power He gives us when we need it. The faith and the grace bestowed. The grace bestowed. Bestowed on us by God, the nearness, as it were, to God's presence, and on and on and on it goes to all of the things that you and I should be thankful for in our journey. It shouldn't be hard to come up with a powerful list of all the things that we can and we should be thankful for in our journey. Well, there's one more element as I move toward the close today, and that has to do Thanksgiving how to. How should we do that? Is there kind of maybe a simple plan that I could follow in this element of the ACTS acronym, Thanksgiving? is there a plan? And there is. So let me kind of walk you through, I think, what would be a good idea. The first thing under how-to is we need to thank God for all things. That's what Ephesians 5:20 said, thanking God for all things that's going on in our journey, for everything, nothing being left out in our journey. And then over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We can't always give thanks for our circumstances, well, sometimes they're not good. But we can give thanks in them, knowing that our God is our God and that He is in control, and He's going to work things out for our good and for His glory. I love Psalm 103. The whole psalm is really a great psalm of thanksgiving. You ought to read through it. But it begins, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that was in me, and forget not all of His benefits." Oh, we ought to sit down every now and then and just remember, just make a list, make a literal list of all of the things that we should be thankful for in our journey, for all that God has done for us and in us and through us. It's a powerful, powerful tool. A second thing on a Thanksgiving how-to, for specific blessings. Specific blessings. Let me kind of break that down. For health, for, you know, our physical blessings, we have so much to be grateful for. For material blessings, you know, a roof over our head, maybe a little bit of money in the bank and in our pocket, for the food that we get to eat, so many material benefits we enjoy in this life. How about for people blessings, spouse, kids, grandkids, moms, dads, grandparents, co-workers, friends, church family. I mean, so many, many, many people blessings, so important. What about the spiritual blessings that we can enjoy because of our relationship with Christ? And I gave you a really great list of some of the spiritual blessings that are available to us because of our personal relationship with Christ. He has done so much for us in our journey, and we should be very, very thankful for all that He's done. And many of those are just simply the spiritual blessings and in our lives. And we should be probably most thankful for those as well. So, Thanksgiving, adoration, then Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the will of God for every believer. And we should be so grateful to Him for all that He's done. And we should tell Him as well. Let me close by reading a couple of verses out of Psalm 116, and begins with this question: "What shall I render? What shall I give to the Lord for all of His bounty, for all of His goodness to me?" I mean, what should I give? Should I think I deserve that or I've earned it? Well, absolutely not. He answers that a few verses later: "I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord." So let's be thankful. This week, practice Thanksgiving, you know, at least 3 or 4 times this week. Thank God for at least one physical health blessing. Thank God for at least one material blessing in your life. Think of someone in your life, and there's so many we could think of. Thank God for one person blessing. And then thank God for a spiritual blessing that's going on within your journey. What a powerful study on prayer. I thank God that He moved in my heart to write the book. I hope you'll go to Amazon if you don't have it already and purchase the book. And when you finish the book, I want to encourage you to go back to Amazon and write a review. And I would really, really appreciate it very much. Hey, thank you for listening to Truth That Transforms. Remember, it only transforms us when we apply it. Blessings from Pastor Jimmy. I'll see you next time.